Welcome back to our NLC weekly podcast, where we are encouraged from the word of God that's preached in our services every Sunday morning. Here is this week's message.
Praise God, church. I'd like us to please read the scriptures together. We're going to read from three different versions and then we're going to see it. Can we go? Let's go. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 15 from the Amplified. It says, "But in your hearts set Christ apart as holy and acknowledge him as Lord. Always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope that is in you. But do it and respectfully." Awesome. Let's read from another. It says, "But treat the Messiah as holy, as Lord in your hearts, while remaining ready to give a reasoned answer to anyone who asks you to explain the hope you have in you, yet with humility and fear." And from the NLT, it says, "Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it." Father, we look to your word. We look to your word for revelation. We look to your word to find the glory that is all about our God. I pray we receive it today. Lord, open our eyes to the truth of your word. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen and amen. Church, he is a good God. He is a faithful God. He deserves yours and I's allegiance. He deserves it. I'm Pastor Fighter and my wife, Miss Anna Fighter. We lead the high school ministry of Club A12, I call Club A12. And we were so privileged to have such an amazing week with our high schoolers. And I want to tell you guys a little about it. That's the reason, actually, we're here. I don't know if you all can notice, HXP was repping all this week. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That's what we were all about. And my wife, you're the most wonderful woman I know. The most excellent of people. The one who literally held us up during these 3 days. And it was a lot to hold up. I honor her. I love her. I respect her. You know, if you had left it to me to do HXP 2024, we'd still be there. But because of my wife, we've been able to do it and do it well. So thank you so much, love. But my wife and I, along with our team of activators, we want to start by giving back all the glory to the Lord after the week we had at HXP. Because it was a fantastic week. We had over 400 high schoolers in attendance. Over 400. Many were able to come because of the generosity of this house. Thank you, church, for making it possible for a high schooler to attend who wouldn't have been here otherwise. Your giving has changed a life forever. We witnessed over 200 salvations and rededications among those who are present. We prayed over 150 teenagers who are filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. That was a week. There were many moments we found ourselves in tears as we stood back and watched God and what he was doing in the room. Moments of ministry were life-changing. The sessions, they were practical and powerful. Our lineup of speakers, man, they delivered. Worship was deep. Praise was lit. God was on the move. And from that, we believe that our high schoolers have found their response. So thank you. Thank you to every activator, volunteer, staff member, creative arts team member, speaker, giver, and every parent. Thank you, parents, for dropping off, for picking up, being patient while you picked up, and being supportive. And thank you to every person who prayed. We saw incredible breakthrough and new petitions were rising to heaven on our behalf. We felt your prayers during HXP. It didn't rain. Other than one night, And that was a short stint, and that was fun. It didn't rain. Thank you for holding us in your prayers. And finally, a special thank you to Pastor Don and Miss Amy. Thank you, Pastor Don and Miss Amy, for believing in us, for resourcing us and supporting us in every way. Y'all, I'm so grateful for pastors with a heartbeat for all the generations. Thank you for pastors who have a heartbeat for our generation, enough to resource and support. And now, I want to give you guys a flashback of how or what HXP was all about. And to do that, I want us to pray and ready our hearts for the word of God. Let's pray. Lord, this is for your glory. When the revelation hits, and it will hit, Lord, I pray that it remains. Lord, I pray that it changes. I pray that it impacts. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. I would love to share with you a message that I ministered on the closing night of HXP. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says that we should always be ready to explain, to give a logical defense or a reasoned answer to anyone who asks about our hope. Church, we've not been asked to make any kind of response. We've not been asked to make just a response or whatever response we want. But we've been asked to make a logical, a reasonable, a thorough response. We've been asked to make the right response. So I'm going to ask you to find out a few responses, actually, to tell me a few right responses from a certain number of greetings. And so I will say the greetings, and you tell me what you think the right response should be. Are you ready? Let's start. First greeting from English. How are you? Fine. Well, it's fine. Only Kenyans say fine. Everyone else says, I'm fine. Fine, thank you. What about you? Kenyan, how are you? Fine. To go to sour. But that's the right response, right? Let's go to Spanish. Spanish. ¿Cómo estás? Estás como is not the right response. ¿Cómo estás? The right answer is, muy bien, right? O está bien, right? What about in Sheng? Itakuaje. Hey, please snap for the person next to you. If the Spanish child, they got it right. That was really well said. Wow. Itakuaje. Ishakua. That is the right response. What about Zulu? Let's talk about Zulu, okay? Sawubona. What is the right response? Hey, snap for the person next to you again. You're doing so well. Yebo. Okay, let's go. Let's go back to Europe. French. Ça va? Ça va? Bien. Right? Or très bien. Et vous? Right? All of that makes sense. What about Swahili? Wambaje? Eh? Wambaje? Ati, that's not Kiswahili. That's Kiswahili. Eh? Guys, that's Swahili. Wambaje? See, the right response is Siambi. Right? No, it's not. It's not. What's the right response? What's the right response? Sina la kuamba, right? So that is siambi. It's wrong. Okay, forgive me. Let's go to the Caribbean. Let's go to the patois, the Jamaican, okay? Jamaican says, where you are deal with? Have you ever even heard it? Now, look at it. When you see it, it makes sense, right? Right? Where you are dealing with. You understand what exactly he's saying? What are you dealing with? Right? And what is the answer? No, that's not the right answer. The right answer is me a gwan easy. Or just a gwan bill. What about Hindi? Let's go to Hindi. Pastor Nelson, what's Hindi?
Namaste.
What is the response? Atiste nama. No, it's not, guys.
Namaste.
Namaste. Oh. So the response for namaste is still namaste, right? A greeting should be met with the right response. It is not just any response we are looking for. It is the right response. And today, that is exactly what we're going to be talking about. My response, the right response. You know, church, you don't answer, Ishakua tu como estas. You don't. In our Christian walk, there are some right responses we need to make in our lives. At HXP, we talked about three responses. Night one was my response to God. You know, church, we started at Calvary and talked about how the cross was Christ's response to our sin. And that if we want to be his disciple, or we want to be his disciples, there's a response demanded back. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 says, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow him. We have to be willing to live a life that's restricted by the cross. That it is held, surrounded, boundaried by the cross. Restricted because we are carrying something. And because I am carrying something, number one, there's something I have to give up. And because I'm carrying something, there are other things I cannot carry. And thank the Lord that there is help, because what I give up, then I pick up the cross and then I look up for help from Christ. And Wednesday night, we made a call for anyone willing to pay that price, because there's a price to pay for giving up. There's a price to pay for picking up. There's a price to pay for looking up. And on night two of HXP, we progressed and we made another right response. My response to my world. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says, God's spirit does not make us timid, but it gives us power, love, and self-discipline. The world is so bold that it imposes its standards on us, and we must respond to the world with the same boldness. We must be unashamed and unapologetic about living our lives as Christians. That's our greatest response in an age that's fighting us to lay down the very thing we believe. We must say like Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I have to say it with the same boldness that the world is coming at me. And now, on night three, we wrapped up with a final response. And that's what we're going to spend some time on. The world's response to me. See, church, having read the Bible, I am assured that after I make a response to God, and when I make a response to the world will respond back to me, right? I should expect that. So I want to ask you a question. How do you think they will respond when I call them out in boldness? When I call out my workmates in boldness? When I stand on my ground, when I stand my ground on truth, what do you think? How do you think the world will respond when in school I stand my ground on truth? When I refuse to take a bribe? When I resist cheating on my exams? When I say no to inappropriate advances? When I block my friend because he's posting dirty content? What do you think the world will respond? Or how do you think the world will respond? What has scripture told us the world will do? Thanks for asking. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12 says, indeed, all who desire to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Scripture has told you this is what will happen. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 9. It says, but resist him. Be firm in your faith. Be established, immovable, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being experienced by your brothers and sisters throughout the world. You do not suffer alone. Persecution is how the world will respond to us. And church, the Bible shares The Bible states that believers were persecuted in the Old Testament. Think of Noah. Think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Think of the prophets. Think of what happened to Jeremiah. When they stood their ground, when they made a response, how did the world respond back? They persecuted them. The Bible doesn't stop there. It takes us to the New Testament. And he said, even in the New Testament, there was persecution. Think of the apostles. Think of the martyrs. Think of the followers of Christ. They were persecuted, all of them. And in the future, scripture doesn't say, you know what, that was in the past. Now you wait, at least it's going to be easy in the future. No. Scripture declares that there will be persecution of the believer. It is a guarantee, not a possibility. Persecution is not something easy or light. It is not. Persecution is related to such meanings. Let me give you a meaning that goes along with persecution. Listen to this. It says, persecution is the hand to bring someone down like an animal, trying to suppress or punish their convictions. Persecution is to pursue, to chase, in order to hunt you down so that they can suppress your conviction. The root word for persecution, you know what that means? It means in any way, whatever. In any way, whatever. In any way I can think of to harass or trouble you, the Christian. That is persecution. This is what the Bible is telling us is coming our way when we respond to the world. When we respond to our world. This response from the world seems dreadful because it's so hateful. It might cause fear, and it causes fear or alienation. It seeks to silence us. But the Bible says this about those who received persecution. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 to 12 says, blessed people who received persecution. This is what it says about them. Blessed and happy and enviably fortunate. Spiritually prosperous in the state in which the born-again child of God enjoys and finds satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of his outward conditions, are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for being and doing right. What are we talking about again? Persecution. What is it saying? You should be enviably fortunate. For theirs is the kingdom of God. They don't stop there. He continues and he says, blessed, happy, to be envied and spiritually prosperous with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of your outward conditions. Are you, when people revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you falsely on my account? Listen to what Jesus says on the Sermon on the Mount for you and I who are persecuted. He says, be glad, be supremely joyful, for your reward in heaven is strong, it is intense. For in the same way people persecuted the prophets who are before you. And you think this is a good sentiment? No. Acts chapter 5 verse 40 to 42 says, and when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. After they'd beat them, then they left the presence of the council rejoicing. They left the presence after being what? Beaten. They left the presence, they left the council. And as they were going, the Bible says, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. Matthew chapter 5 verse 10 was not just a good sentiment. It was not a good scripture to memorize for the early church. They literally lived it. The Bible says that they counted it worthy to suffer persecution for the name of Jesus. They had such a high value for God that suffering for his name was their highest prize. It was their biggest boast. Knowing my response to the world will bring persecution. And knowing that my response will bring persecution, why would I dare to stand for my response? Why would I dare still speak up? The Bible has already confirmed that I will receive persecution. Why would I do it? Why should I, like Acts chapter 5 verse 42, say, I will not cease in teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus? Why would I do that? Why would you do that? I believe it is when we understand the weight, the importance, the urgency of our response. When you understand that, no beating will stop you. No flogging will stop you. No ridicule will stop you. When your world cancels you for your commitment to Christ's ways, when your world ridicules you for your purity, when your world calls you names for being unapologetically firm, when your world persecutes you for your convictions, do not dread. Do not cower. Do not be silenced. But instead, like the apostles, realize the weight of your response. Realize the weight of your response. Let me ask you guys, do you have a day that is etched in your mind? Do you have a day that you will always remember? Be it for good or bad, significant or insignificant, the first day at job, the day you saw the Eiffel Tower, for those who have been blessed to go to France. Is there a day that is etched in your mind? I'll tell you mine. It is the day that I received my last correction, discipline, physical discipline from my dad. I remember it very clearly. Because, church, I was playing football, you know. At one point, I used to think, I'm very good at football. Sasa. And so we were playing in the estate. And then my brother, who's the drummer, he's the skilled one in the family. Like, my brother comes, he runs to me. And he comes and he says, Fighter, Fighter, it's time to go home. I'm super sub. Guys, I am the striker. If I go home, the team crumbles. So me, I come. Give me five. Let me just leave my team in good hands. Let me score at least three or four goals. So I'm going. Then 2 minutes later, my brother comes again. Fighter, dad is calling. It's time to go home now. I am so close. Have you ever felt you're so close? Like, please don't disturb me because I'm really, really close. So I tell him again, Steve, I promise, three minutes. Steve goes back, 1 minute later, 30 seconds, he comes back and he says, Fighter, dad is saying, let's go home. I turn to tell him, I have 2 minutes left. As I turn to tell him, in the corner of my eye, see here, the one when you turn, there's a figure at our gate. I know very well who that is. And so as I turn, I start running. I know exactly. You guys know it. You know you're in the wrong, because I tell my team, even the other ball I go in a bamba. And I run to my dad. As I run to my dad, my dad lovingly disciplines me, because scripture says he disciplines those and he did not spare the rod of correction, and he did it publicly. That event changed my life. That event is probably the reason I'm here at Nairobi Lighthouse Church. That's a story for another day. But Steve was calling me 3 times. I would go to him and tell him, no, I can't. But Steve would keep coming back. Say, no, Fights, you need to listen. What caused Steve to come 3, 4, 5 times? What caused him? Who was calling? Who was calling? Who was the sender of this message? It was my dad. And when dad calls, you are supposed to respond. And so when I saw Steve knew the gravity of that message because he knew the sender. Steve was willing to come back time after time because he knew the sender. He knew the seriousness of the matter. The weight of our response is that my response reveals the sender. That response you have, it is revealing the sender. There's an urgency. There's a seriousness about your response. Exodus chapter 3, verse 13 to 14 says, then Moses said to God, behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now, they may say to me, Moses tells God, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. When Moses asked God, who should I say sent me? God said, I am that I am. He was using the Hebrew imperfect tense, ehyeh, asher, ehyeh. And this is what he was saying. And he was not like any others. You know, church, Israel had been captured for 400 years by Egypt, and they had multiple gods. Whenever they would need certain help, when they need health, one God. Rain, one God. Harvest, one God. Fertility, one God. But God told Moses that his response to Israel would help the Israelites know that whatever they needed, one God would meet. He would be what Israelites need him to be. Basically, they wouldn't need any other thing after they had God. My response reveals that he is not a God among others. He is not a God to be compared to others. My response shows that he is above all. And it also shows the world around me that whatever they need, they can find it in him. Peace, him. Hope, him. Rest, him. Purpose, him. Love, him. Identity, him. Health, him. Strength, him. My response will reveal how capable God is. So I ask you again, is this worth me being persecuted? Yes. By all means, yes. Our world needs to know that there is only one, and that one is more than all the rest. Our world needs to know that according to 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. So when I respond no to taking drugs, when my friends push me, when I respond no to his advances because I am married and want to honor Jesus, when I take a stand, not only am I revealing my values, but I'm also revealing the sender. I'm showing my world who God truly is. The second weight of your response, my response reveals the message. What was the message? Can you remember? What was the message? Go. Go home. What was the message? Steve came 3 times. He didn't change his message. The message was the same. It was always go home. Dad is calling. He didn't sugarcoat it. He didn't make me feel nice by telling, oh, Steve, Fights, there is tea and bread at home. Go get it so that he can get me out of trouble. No, Steve's message didn't change. Steve's message was simple. Steve's message was effective. Steve's message was enough. The message was, go home. My response reveals the message. Acts chapter 26, verse 22 and 23 says, but God helped me. And he is still helping me today. With God's help, I'm standing here today and telling all people what I have seen. But I am saying nothing new. I am saying only what Moses and the prophets said would happen. They said that the Messiah would die and be the first to rise from death. They said he would bring the light of God's saving truth to the Jewish people and to the non-Jewish people, to the Jews and the Gentiles, to our people and to all nations. So Paul is brought before King Agrippa, and he starts by saying how fortunate he is to bring his defense, his response before him. He speaks of this message that is not new, but it has been waited on from Moses to the prophets, the message of the Messiah. The one promised from the Garden of Eden has finally come. The one who would crush Satan's head has done it. The one who was to restore our relationship back with God, with a here, a share, a here, he has done it. He has restored our relationship. This is the message our response is carrying. Think of the hope that this message will bring to the one who is lost in anxiety and depression. Think of the joy this message will come or will bring to the one who's broken by sin. Think of the relief that this message will bring to the one who is in a broken family or has a broken family. There is a restorer. That's the message. There is a savior. That's the message. There is a healer. That's the message. And he has finally come and he's brought God's light and salvation. This message is worth me being persecuted for. It's worth me going back to fighter three times. Go home. It's worth me going back to fighter four times. Go home five times. Regardless of the noise that fighter will tell you, you can't stop this message because this message is nothing new. You have to hear the same message because if you get it, it will save your very life. As I suffer persecution, may I always be reminded that with those who oppose you, there will be others who will be inspired by you. There will be others who will be inspired by you. It's your willingness to suffer that will confirm your faith. Your willingness to endure harsh treatment, ridicule, persuasive sounding arguments that will prove that what you believe is actually real. As you seek to reveal the sender and the message with your life, there are many who will find the revelation and will be won to Christ. Church, let's find our response because our world is desperately looking for the sender and the message, and we carry that response in Jesus' name. I want to ask all of us, every believer, please raise your hand. As I pray for you, I pray that this conviction, that this revelation will help you confirm your response and take it to your world with boldness and unapologetic. That you will give up, that you will look up. Father, we thank you. Enable us, help us, strengthen us, God. Because God, you've promised that persecution will come. But Father, we also see what our response is carrying. We cannot be stopped, God. We cannot hold back. We should not be silenced. God, when I go to work, God, when I am, you know, at home, when my God, I'm with my classmates, God, help me. Strengthen me. Yes, to see the persecution. Yes, I may know that the persecution will come. But God, above it all, there is a sender that my world must know. There is a message that my world must know. Lord, with your help, as I continue to look up, with your help, I will make my response firm. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen and amen. Come on. Church, let's go find our response this week.
Thank you for listening. If you're looking for a church community to be a part of or would like to learn more about following Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can find us at NLC Official on social media or WhatsApp on 0720-652-652. Join us next week for another message. Until then, God bless you.